thing that morning, you know, dealing with their little problems. And you know, I was just really discouraged. But anyway, so I waited for this class to come down. And the first kid that came was a kid named little Hernan. And when he saw him, he just lit up like, Mr. Budwell! And he ran up and he just literally jumped on me, you know? He was so happy to see me. And then the rest of the class came and they saw Hernan hug me. And all of a sudden, they all came and hugged me. And so I had a crowd of these little kids all holding my leg, you know, and I just kind of looked up at God and said, you know, it's amazing how he answers prayer, you know? And even if our prayer doesn't sound really eloquent, you know, like, God, you better show me something. I mean, he does. He really does. I want to just put on a slide here, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 4. If we can just, there, perfect. It says, praise to the God of all comfort. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. I was in trouble that time. Those kindergarten kids just like squeezed the grumpies out of me. And I did get some counseling. And I'm not going to dismiss counseling. I think counseling is good, and I prayed a lot. But one of the things that really helped me was that God brought people into my life to comfort, even at my lowest point. And very scriptural. And like I was talking about that lady, that grandma living in the alleyway, like visiting her and getting encouragement from her was just really profound. Like I was just like, it just put everything into perspective. And I sometimes think that sometimes, you know, we get into all this trouble and we retreat and we, you know, we get all this counseling and we, you know, we're all in this despair, that maybe what we really need to do is go reach out to somebody and encourage them and get things in perspective. Now, one of my favorite movies of all time, it's kind of movie day today, is The King's Speech. And I'm not sure if you know the story, but the king that's in this movie is our queen, Queen Elizabeth's dad. And Queen Elizabeth's dad was King George. And King George, before he became king, he had a speech impediment. Now, if you think about it, what do kings and queens do? They talk a lot, right? They have speeches. But if you're a king and you have a speech impediment, that's a little awkward, okay? And his speech impediment was King George stuttered or stammered. So when he he couldn't spit out the words, and it was awkward. And so he sought out help. He took the courage. He had courage, and he sought out help. And he finally, you know, he went through several men and several people, and none of them really helped. And then he found one speech therapist who made a difference, and his name was Lionel Logue. And he really improved his speech, and he kept working with Lionel to the point where, before he was crowned king, they practiced in Westminster Abbey. Him and Lionel Logue practiced, you know, him being crowned as king. And there's a very interesting scene in the movie that you're going to see shortly. Just before they were going to practice, Lionel and the king, you know, the future king, they're going to practice the coronation. The future king finds out that Lionel Logue has no credentials. He finds out that he didn't go to the university. He didn't get any certificates. That basically the king has been taught and has been, you know, improving the speech by someone who's completely unqualified. And he's in, you know, the king's in a, you know, in a quandary here. And so I'm going to show you the clip now. And there's some really important lessons to be learned just from watching this clip. So hopefully technology will work. The clip. And it may take... I'll be in the dark for a bit. You can tell from that clip, there are a lot of lessons that can be learned just from that one clip alone about perseverance, about faith, about how we can encourage one another. But I just have three major lessons that, like, I've learned from just that clip. Probably the biggest one is about respecting yourself. And I think, you know, what I read right off the bat this morning from Hebrews 10 is that when we go to God in confidence, what does God do? What does he mainly do for us? He encourages. He loves. He gives us insight. He gives us perspective. He gives us a realistic appreciation of who we are. And with that, taking that, we then have a good, healthy self-respect for who we are. And that's where he wants us. And you could tell in that clip that Lionel, the speech pathologist, was challenging that. You know, like, what right? You know, you know, he was saying, well, why should I respect you as king? You know, why should I listen to you? You don't want to be king. So you see, he's challenging his self-respect. The other lesson, of course, is Lionel. We're called to encourage one another. And in a kind of indirect way, he was encouraging him. Although I wouldn't really recommend that, but, you know, you have to have a bit of a relationship to encourage like that. But in a way, he was not focusing on that he was a king. He was focusing on his character. Isn't that interesting? He was focusing on character. He didn't care that he was king, but he cared for him as a friend and as someone. He could see the qualities. He could see the potential in that man. And then the final point is that you have a voice. You have a voice. And I want to just put up the slide here, and this is kind of the heart of my message to you this morning. It's from 1 Corinthians 14:1. And it says, go after a life of love. You just go back one. There we go. Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Give yourselves to the gifts God gives you. Most of all, try to proclaim his truth. If you praise him in the private language of tongues, God understands you, but no one else does, for you are sharing intimacies just between you and him. But when you proclaim his truth in everyday speech, you're letting others in on the truth so that they can grow and be strong, experience his presence with you. And that is why you have a voice and why you need to speak. Because when we are with God and you've had some time with God, the words you will speak will be truth. You will be basically bringing the presence of God to others. It's also, if we could just go to the next slide. And there. Oh, that's the wrong one. So, just go back one, please. Okay. This is 1 Corinthians 14. It says, follow the way of love and especially desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to those people for the strength, encouraging, comfort. So we have all these spiritual gifts, you know, healing, encouraging, comfort. But the one that we should desire the most is the gift of prophecy, which basically is speaking truth into each other's lives. Amen. I want to just read the King's speech, just a part of this famous speech. Now, I think the big lesson from the king is that he didn't have to be king. He didn't have to. He could have just said, you know what, I got a speech impediment. I can't be king. And he could have lived a life of luxury and ease. But because of his courage, he decided, no, I want to be king. I want to serve my people. And I'm just going to read a part of his speech, and I want you just to think about as I read it and think about how this relates to you. Because prophecy, no matter what year or time you say it, truth is truth, and it's timeless. So let me just read this for you. Now, let me just give you a little context, though. This speech was said just before or just after England declared war against Germany. Okay, so it's a very tense time in England. okay? They've tried to create, they've tried to have peace with Germany, but Germany has refused. They're now about to enter war. And I'm not saying that, you know, the King's speeches helped England win the war, because they did eventually win the war, but it certainly helps. Let me read this for you, and it'd be interesting to hear what you think later. "We've been forced into conflict for which we are called with our allies to meet the challenge of a principle which, if it were to prevail, would be fatal to any civilized order in the world. It is a principle which permits a state in the self-pursuit of power to disregard its treaties and its solemn pledges, which sanctions the use of force or threat of force against the sovereignty and independence of other states. Such a principle, stripped of all disguise, is surely the mere primitive doctrine that might is right, and if this principle were established throughout the world, the freedom of our own country and of the whole British Commonwealth of Nations would be in danger. But far more than this, the peoples of the world would be kept in bondage of fear, and all hopes of settled peace and of security of justice and liberty among nations would be ended. This is the ultimate issue which confronts us. For the sake of all we ourselves hold dear, and of the world order and peace, it is unthinkable that we should refuse to meet the challenge. It is to this high purpose that I now call my people at home and my people across the seas who will make our cause their own. I ask them to stand calm and firm and united in this time of trial. The task will be hard. There may be dark days ahead, and war can no longer be confined to the battlefield. But we can only do the right as we see the right and reverently commit our cause to God. If one and all we keep resolutely faithful to it, ready for whatever service or sacrifice it may demand, then with God's help, we shall prevail. May he bless and keep us all." Isn't that incredible? What a prophetic message, that if we sacrifice, we commit our cause to God, and we stick together, we will prevail. And we know that our battle is not against, our battle is against Satan. You know, it is against Satan. And if we are alone, and if we get isolated, he's going to win. But if we stick together, if we speak truth in each other's life, we encourage, we will prevail. It is a guarantee. We will prevail. Amen. So, what I encourage you to do, I guess, let me just final words. Is I encourage you here as a body to find the time to spend with God. Just get real with God. Spend the time every day with the Lord. And then, once you've been encouraged and built up, speak truth into each other's lives, comfort. And it's amazing how it works. It is so comforting to comfort others. And often we get more than what we tend to give. And I just have one last little story to tell before I turn this over to Stan. And you may have heard this story from Stan, you may have heard this story before, but it's just one of my favorite stories of all time. Several years ago, I went with Doug Haltane, some of you may remember Doug Haltane, we went regularly to the Bowdoin Prison, to an NA meeting. And at first, I didn't want to go. Like, you know, that was just scary to me. You know, NA meeting in a prison, you know. Oh. But eventually, I went. Doug convinced me to go. And it was really one of the, you know, most amazing times of my life. And I'll never forget one of the inmates there, you know, talking about his life. And when he was out of prison, he was heavily into drugs. And you know, his life was a wreck. And sadly, incredibly, one day he murdered someone. And he was sent to prison. And in prison, he finally got into an NA meeting and finally got off drugs after about 20 years. And he had been going to this NA meeting for over a year, and he had been clean for over a year. And he stood up and he said, "You know what? I finally have freedom." And he's in prison. He's going to be incarcerated. Like, and I'm thinking, what? Dude, look around. You're in prison. But no, he said, "I am free. I'm free from drugs." And he said, "I don't really know much about this God thing, but I do know this, that every morning when I wake up, I want to bless someone. I want to encourage someone. And he said, I love doing that, and I love getting the encouragement back. But what a great testimony that even no matter what your circumstance, what your situation, God will redeem your life, and God will give you purpose with just a simple thing. Wake up, thank you, Lord, for another day. I'm looking forward to blessing someone. Amazing. Anyways, I'm going to now turn this over to Stan. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you, Dirk, because that was encouraging. You did what you were talking about. Know that we pray for you often in our Sunday night prayer meetings. We pray for our missionary in Hong Kong. And we feel encouraged by the words that you share with us. And I like how, you know, it really is, we show a clip or whatever, but it's based on what God's Word says. How vital it is, how important it is that we do encourage each other, and we start to function and act like a body, you know, instead of pulling in different directions, that the arms actually work with the fingers and the fingers work with the thumbs, and that we become way more effective when we actually start working in unity and living in harmony. Paul talked about that too, living in harmony with each other. And I really appreciate that. When I hear you speak, I'm reminded about how much we're missing now that you're not here anymore. And we do miss you. But I'm glad that you come back every summer, and I know you're promising to come back for longer periods of time and to do more ministry too, and I'm excited for the day when that's going to happen. One of the things that just kind of ties in with where God's been leading me and some of the words that God's been sharing, many things very similar to what you've been sharing about the gifts of the Spirit and the moving of the Spirit, and how, you know, really we talk about how we need to work together and we need to have this unity. To me, all of this always ties back into the Holy Spirit, and God is moving me, and I guess he's pressing me more into his word about the Holy Spirit and how vital, how important the Holy Spirit is, how he is in the life of the church, in the life of this church and this body, but in the life of, you know, his church period. You know, we need the Holy Spirit. And I really believe that God is going to be leading us into a new chapter, that there's new things going to be happening. There's been a lot of the old falling off, and sometimes that hurts when the old falls off, but it's really a good thing. And I'm believing, and I'm seeing this vision that God is showing me, that he's going to be moving in the spiritual realm and in the movement of the Holy Spirit and in the gifts of the Spirit among us in ways that we haven't seen before, and that we need to be open to that. We need to be ready for that. And I find that really exciting, that as a matter of fact, and I don't know if you really agree with this or not, but it's what God's been showing me, is that if there's deficiencies in our lives and in our church, or if things aren't working, we're seeing people sometimes coming to God and then they fall away again, or they do good for a little while. You know how we battle with that? And they do good for a little while and then they seem to fall away again. The real core root problem is a spiritual, it's a Holy Spirit problem. It's a Holy Spirit problem. The reason why we're not sticking with Jesus is because we haven't got that fullness of the Spirit of Jesus in us. And when you don't have that, you just don't stand on a solid ground. You end up going back to that old way of life again. And that there is a difference between having the Holy Spirit or having the Holy Spirit being available to us and actually availing ourselves of the Holy Spirit, okay? That we need more. We need more of that fullness of the Holy Spirit. We need the gifts of the Spirit in this body, where everyone has a gift, or maybe more than one, and that we're putting those gifts into service, and that the proof of that, let's make something clear, that the proof of that is in the fruit of the Spirit. The proof of the acting of the gifts of the Spirit, and Dirk mentioned a few of them, there's lots of gifts of the Holy Spirit, but there's only one fruit. It's always fruit singular. We need to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. It's like it's one basket, whether it's joy or love or peace or patience or goodness or kindness or self-control. You know, it's one fruit that comes out of our lives that is born out of the church, you know, as the gifts are put into practice. And I believe God is moving in that direction. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to be obedient to His word. And it is exactly what Dirk was saying. You got a voice. You know, the voice around here isn't just that pastor who goes on for a little too long every Sunday. You have a voice. You have a gift. You've got something to contribute, so contribute it. And don't wait to be asked, because you may not get asked, because we're not good enough. We're not smart enough to ask you. You know, we don't think those things through well enough. But you have a voice, and you need to use your voice. And maybe, you know, you're waiting to be asked for something that you really want to do, but that's not what God wants you to do. He's got something else for you to do. And you're not getting asked to do this or do that, you know, some prestigious things. But there's a neighbor you need to talk to, or there's someone you need to just love, or you need to provide someone with just some need in their lives. I don't know. I know this, is that God is leading us in the movement of the Holy Spirit, and that the evidence of the Holy Spirit in our church and in our lives is seen in the fruit. There's going to be fruit there. It's going to be visible. I think once in a while, we need to get to the end of the book, and it's okay to go there once in a while, because there's where the encouragement is. And lately, I think some of the stuff we've been talking about is a little bit discouraging, and I want to just get to the end of the book, and we're going to do that from time to time again, because I need to do that. I need to go to the end and go, oh, we won. Oh, good. You know, after all these wars and rumors of wars and all the awful stuff that's going on in the Mideast and planes that are crashing. And I mean, some of you probably came to church this morning thinking, oh man, he's going to belabor that again. Now we're going to hear about all the other terrible things that happened this week. It's like every week this pastor has more ammunition about how terrible, how awful things are going. And I do. But I'm not going to delve into all that today. You know, I got more material. You know, you just need to read the news. Every day I got enough material to show you what the Bible says, that we are in the end times and that we are facing the full wrath of the enemy. I mean, he knows that his time is short. He knows that he's lost. He doesn't. He has lost the battle, and he is warring against us in every way that he can. You know, and it says, and I'm not going to get into this, but it says in the Bible that, you know, that in the end times, there will be signs. There will be signs of the coming of Jesus Christ. And we sometimes think, oh man, that'll be exciting. There are going to be all these great signs. Probably going to be lots of people healed. And there's probably going to be lots of wonderful, joyous, amazing things happening. But if you read Acts chapter 2, what it says is, there will be signs of the coming of Christ. And those signs are going to be fire and smoke and billows of smoke. Right? I mean, it's not all the wonderful things of signs that you might think. This is an awful time that we are living in. But we're not going to talk about that today. Today we get to the end of the book. I want to just encourage you, and I know, I already did. Let's just read this. Let me read you the last part of Revelation 22. I'm going to start with verse 16. Let these words just sink in. Let them absorb. I, Jesus, Revelation 22, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Can you say amen to that? I am Jesus. He said, I am the root, the offspring of David and the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I know there's a lot more there. I'm limited a little bit with time here today. What I want you to know today, though, is that this Jesus, this bright morning star, this Jesus says to you, come. Come to me. It's an invitation. It says here that the Spirit and the bride say, come. The Spirit is God, right? We know who the Spirit is. The Spirit is really the Holy Spirit, what I've been saying already all along. If we're going to have this voice in the world, it's a voice of invitation. It's a voice compelling people to come in. And the bride is the church of Jesus Christ. And if you're wondering whether that's true or not, you can just read in Revelation 19 and 20. Take some time this afternoon, you read about it. We are the bride of Christ. He is presenting us, the Bible says, as unblemished, as holy, as a pure bride. He presents us as the bride of Christ. And in Revelation 19, he talks about us as the holy Jerusalem, where all people are going to come together. Well, that's his church. We are, you are the church. You're the bride of Christ. He presents you because of his blood. He presents you as holy and as pure. There isn't a blemish on you. There isn't a spot on you. And there's a day coming when we're going to be enjoying that wedding banquet, right? So when he says the Spirit and the bride say come, that invitation is an invitation that comes two-pronged. It's coming from the Spirit, first of all, but it's also an invitation to come that's coming from the church. We need to bring that invitation. We need to let the world know to come. Come. Let him who hears say, come. That's the only word we got, right? This is the only message I have for people is, come. Like I told you about the lady I was playing softball with, and I asked her if she was a Christian. I wish I would have been able to go beyond that to say, do you want to be a Christian? but the inning was over and we were off the bench and we're playing again. But I mean, that's the question that we have. It's the invitation of the Spirit and the bride. Do you want to be a Christian? Are you a believer? No. Okay. Do you want to be? I mean, it's not hard. Even a child can be. All you got to do is just ask Jesus to come in, right? The Spirit and the bride have this invitation. It's the most important invitation of all times. Just come. Come. And whoever is thirsty, let him come and drink of the free, of the water of life. Just come. I wonder if the bride is still inviting like we're supposed to. I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Spirit is still inviting. I know that God is still inviting. God still lays his hand on our hearts and he says, you come back to me. I love you. You are so precious to me. But you know, the church, I'm not sure we're saying a lot of things, but we're not saying come very often. And when we are saying come, we're saying come to church. We're not necessarily saying come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come and drink of him. Man, that is such a vital word, such an amazing gift that we've been given. You realize you are the church. You're the bride of Christ, and he doesn't give you 100 things to say. You know, I learned a catechism in the church I grew up in, and it was pages upon pages upon pages of stuff I needed to memorize and learn. I wish I'd just had known that all I needed to know was one word. Man, all you need to know is come. All you need to know is, I just got to say, Andy, you know what? I love Jesus, and I belong to Jesus. Do you want to know Jesus? Would you like to come to Jesus? That's it, right? We make it so much harder than Jesus ever did. And he's such a compelling, loving God that he just says, come to me. All of you who are weary, you weary today? You heavy burden? Just come. Come to me. And what a message that is, isn't it? We have the Bible says we have the words of eternal life. That what we can say to people can actually change their lives for an eternity. It can make an eternal difference in them. But we sometimes, we're so busy saying other stuff that and so interested in other things. Maybe getting them to come to church, coming to our Bible study, or trying to get them to be good, when all we ever were asked to do is have them come to the water. The Holy Spirit, and I'm going to kind of end on this note here, although it might go longer than you think, so don't think, oh good, he's almost done. Don't think that. The Holy Spirit in John's Gospel and in John's Revelation is often referred to or used the metaphor of water. There's water involved. It's about a spring of life. Jesus talked about, you know, when you have the Holy Spirit, it's like that refreshing water you drink and the spring of water that wells up inside of you. We need to start understanding it in that way, that what people are lacking in their lives a lot of times is they've received Jesus into their heart, but they don't know the fullness of the Holy Spirit. They don't receive, they don't know the bubbling sensation, that sense of never wanting anymore is what Jesus said. Let me just bear with me a couple things in John. Again, remember, John, the same John who wrote the gospel, had this vision. He says this in John chapter 4, verse 10, and here Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman, and I won't be able to read all of it, but just in verse 10 he says this, if you knew, to the woman, man, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And we know that by this he means the Holy Spirit. In other words, all you got to do is ask. But there's an asking that needs to happen. There is an asking that needs to happen. God will never force himself on you. He'll never ram or jam his Holy Spirit down your throat and into your heart. He never goes, you know, no matter what, I'm going to give you this Holy Spirit. I don't care whether you want it or not. God's not like that. But he does say this, you need to ask. If you only knew, if Jesus said, if you only knew who I was, if you only knew what I could give you, this living water, you would just ask me. And all I got to say this morning is that that's all you got to do. You just got to ask. Now, I know that sometimes it helps, and it's in the Bible too, that sometimes we might lay our hands on someone, or we can pray for someone. We can pray for the Holy Spirit to indwell and to fill and to pour out. And that's wonderful. It's great, but it's still just asking, right? You can ask on your own, or if you don't think you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can ask someone else to pray for you. But when we do that, we should do it with confidence. Because the promise of God is when you ask, you're going to receive something that you've never, ever experienced before. And there are a lot of people who are on their road with Jesus. They've made maybe a commitment to Christ, but it isn't real and it isn't powerful yet, and they still tend to wander back to the old life, and it's because they're not drinking of the Spirit of God. He says later on, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Isn't that what happens? Right? We see people all the time. They give their hearts to Jesus, but 3 days later, they're thirsty again for the old stuff they used to drink. He says, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. You'll never be thirsty again. You'll never be hungry again. Jesus will be all that you need. You will be satisfied. Amen. Yes. You will be satisfied. You will have everything that you need if you receive this living water that Jesus is talking about. Wow. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You know what that means? Literally? Literally, he says, if you receive the Spirit that I'm talking about, if you receive, you drink of him, there's going to be a gushing that flows inside of you. It's almost, the word itself is almost a violent overflowing. It's just, it's like almost like, I don't know how to describe it. I can't act it out. But you know what I mean? That's what the Holy Spirit is like in us. And he fills us with joy, and he gives us everything we need. And he keeps me off of that other pathway. He keeps me away from the drugs and the women and the gambling and whatever is not good for me, because I'm so filled with his Spirit. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need, you know. And that's why I said earlier, I believe God's moving us in this direction, because the greatest thing we can do for someone, the most important thing we can do for someone who gives their life to Jesus, is to make sure that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. I know that when you receive Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in you. I believe that. He is available, but there's too many of us who are living with the Holy Spirit available to us, but we're really not filled with him. And then one more verse in John chapter 7, where Jesus says, on the last and the greatest day of the feast, he stood before the crowd and he said with a loud voice, because Jesus wanted everyone to hear this, he said this with a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. You say amen to that? Streams of living water will flow from within you. When you have the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit is poured into you, then it pours out from you as well. And Jesus said that's what you need to ask for. And I'll tell you to come. I'll tell you to come. And I will give you, I'll give you something to drink that you've, you know, you think you've had some pretty good drinks in your life. I got some big surprise for you. I got something for you to drink that is nothing like anything you've had before. My wife always, always has something by her side. Do you know what that is? No. Although she does, that was dirty, wasn't it? That was really dirty. She does have the Bible by her side all the time. It wasn't nice that I picked that up. But this is what she has by her side. And she never, you know, 10 years ago, you never used to have this water by your side all the time. 10 years ago, she was much more like me. We just kind of drink when you're thirsty or once in a while. But like some of you here today, my wife has always got this little purple thing. And she will frequently open it up. See, I don't even know how to open it. Anyhow, she'll take a sip and she'll drink of it. Now, I'm different than my wife. I don't carry one of these things around. I don't even understand why anyone would do such a thing. I'm admitting this, okay? I'm coming before you humbly right now, admitting that I'm much more like a camel. And I just drink when I'm thirsty. And I would never carry one of these things around, but my wife, if you follow her around during the day, probably 5 or 6 times an hour, she takes a cap off and she takes a little sip. And so is Wes, and so do a few others of you. And I'm going to use that as an example as we conclude here today, because there are so many people who are more like me than like Crystal, where we just wait until we're in crisis. We don't drink of the Spirit until we're absolutely in need of the Spirit, where we're not drinking what's available to us instead until we're in crisis mode, or until our hearts are broken, or until some terrible catastrophe has happened, and then we cry out to God, oh God, I'm in trouble, help me, and he gives us the, oh good, and we take our sip again, and we think, oh, thank God for the Spirit of God. And how much better it would be if we just took a sip. We drank as we went through the day. We drank 6 times an hour. And that might just be something like giving thanks to God or taking the word and reading or memorizing something and letting that memory of that scripture go through your head. You know what I'm getting at? Like, we need to do this. We need to sip instead of waiting to gulp of him. Why are we waiting until we're parched, until our soul is parched? Why are we waiting to drink of the Holy Spirit when he is available to us right now and we can just take of him anytime we want? You get that? Am I making any sense? You understand what I'm saying? We wait till we're in desperation, and it's like we're in the desert, and we just can't wait to drink, glug, 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 glug. And then we wait till, you know, like camels, we're spiritual camels, we wait till the next time. And God says, you know, this is such a better way. Why don't you just drink of me every moment? Take a sip regularly. See me everywhere that I am. This is living water. Why are you waiting till you're desperate? Why don't you just come and drink of it now? You know, here's the thing. She never drank that much water before. You're drinking, I'm not making any stories up here, right? You're drinking way more water now than you ever did. And so here's a line I want you to remember, and it's going to be a funny line in some ways, because for some of you, it's going to remind you of your old life. But this is true. What I'm going to say, this one statement, it's true for your new life. More true than anything else, and that is, the more you drink, the more you drink. Like I said, that's true of some of you in your old life, but now when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, here's the wonderful thing. And that's true. When she started to drink of this little purple jug thing, she started to drink more and more and more. And it wasn't because she needed it or that she was thirsty all the time. It was just, it was available. And it was refreshing, right? Remember this today. Try to remember it in a good way, okay? The more you drink, the more you drink. The more you partake of the Holy Spirit, the more you drink of the living water, the more you are ready to be refreshed of that living water and receive everything that he intends for you to have. Amen? Jesus, you know, there's this, the last part of Revelation, there is an invitation and there's a prayer. The invitation is come. The Spirit and the bride say come. That's the invitation. The prayer is right at the very end, the last words in the whole Bible. The prayer is this: come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Is that God's word? All right, you've heard it. You heard it from Dirk. You hear it from Revelation. Let's thank him. God, we thank you and we pray to you. I'm excited, Lord, of where you're leading us. I'm excited about your Holy Spirit, and I understand and I recognize that what's lacking and what we need is that fullness of your Holy Spirit in each of our lives, but also in the lives of people who are coming off the streets or who are coming from Anders on the Lake or who are coming from Rosedale, wherever they're coming, God, we need to see you fill them with your Spirit, and we need to drink of you. You have the words of eternal life, and you have given us this wellspring of the Holy Spirit inside of us. You have made it so that your Spirit gushes inside of us. It is the one important, quintessential thing that we need in our lives and that people who come to know you need in their lives as well. And so we just pray that now, God. I pray, Holy Spirit, fill us immeasurably. Fill us with a joy that is unutterable and inexpressible. Fill us with the fullness of your Spirit. And for your church, Jesus, for your bride, equip us with gifts. We need every gift, Jesus. What we're lacking, provide us. Lord, I pray for people to start coming here who bring gifts that we need. And I pray for people who are here who don't know those gifts, that you'll reveal those gifts. In Jesus' name, I pray that, God. That we can be the body you want us to be, that we'll start to be mobilized like an army, and that we will have a direct purpose and a vision that you give us. Help us to know how we can impart and how we can help other people to live in the fullness of your Spirit. We know that's available. We know that your Holy Spirit is available, Lord. We just need to drink of it. Not it, but him. We need to drink of him. So thank you for that, Lord. I give you all glory and praise, and I thank you that I'm a part of this. I'm part of this group. I'm a part of this body, that we do this together, that you give us the holy calling. The holy calling to compel people to come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just one last thing that I just want to say, that just before we sing, we're going to sing a song here about just all who are thirsty, but, you know, this, it starts with baptism. And if you haven't been baptized, we're going to be baptizing people first part of September. Or if you know people who should be baptized, or if you got next 6 weeks to tell people about Jesus and get them on their knees and bring them to that baptism service. The water starts in baptism. It really does. It's that the Bible says that you need to repent and be baptized and then be saved. And we're just going to be faithful. We're going to just get to the river and we're going to baptize. It's that water of baptism that begins the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I remember Gord's testimony, you know, how that made, and you're not the only one, Gord. There's a lot of people who have made the same testimony, that the thing that really changed their life, the one event that really brought in the fullness of the Holy Spirit was when I got baptized. That was a turning point in my life. I never went back to that old life again because I was washed, and that washing was a regeneration, and it was all the dirt was going down the river. I just encourage you, Some of you need to get baptized. And well, does anyone know they want to get baptized? Put your hand up right now. Anyone? Okay, good. Two there. Anyone else? It won't be snowing. I can almost guarantee that. But there's some of you. I just want you to know that's the invitation. I promise in September it won't be snowing. All right. Can you also just covenant with me to pray about that? It's important. We pray for baptism and for how that's just going to be a way to change. We see people's lives changed. Why don't we stand? Let's end with this song. All who are thirsty. Anyone thirsty here today? Let me ask you again. Anyone thirsty here today?
All who are thirsty. All who are weak. Come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the streams of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to Thee, we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, come, Lord Jesus, come. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come.
You can come. You just come to the front.
Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come. We worship You, Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come. All who are thirsty,
all who are thirsty,
all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to deep, we sing, come, Lord.
Come,
come, Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Yes, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the streams of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy. As deep cries out to Thee, we sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.
Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Come, Jesus.
Spirit, come.
Yes, God. Freedom, God. Thank you, Jesus.
Spirit, come. We need you, Holy Spirit, come. We love you, Lord.
Lord bless you and keep you. Lord lift up His countenance upon you. The Lord give you His peace. God give you His peace. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Oh.